I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about a verse from Proverbs chapter 8, where we see this picture of Jesus, and it says he was filled with delight, rejoicing always in God's presence. Yesterday, we talked about what we called the praise cure. We talked about this example of the two baskets, one basket full of the issues and problems, one basket full of our praises. And which basket are we focused on? Which basket are we filling up? Filling up that praise basket so that it overtakes the basket of the issues and problems that we're facing. Just being filled with delight in God's presence every day, focusing on him. So we're going to be taking communion over this today, asking for God's help to be walking in this from this point forward in our life every day, to make it a daily practice. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I had pretty much no spiritual life whatsoever. I was just doing life on my own without God, doing things my own way. But unfortunately, life wasn't going the way I wanted to go. At the time, I was running my personal training business, and my business started off great, but it got to this place of just staff turnover issues. And I got some months where I'm losing thousands of dollars in a month. I got all the weight and pressure and stress of things on me. Got young kids at the time. I'm working too much and my life is way out of balance. And I remember going for a walk with my wife around the neighborhood, just telling her over and over, there's got to be a better way to live. And it wasn't for a lack of seeking or searching. I was traveling all over the country, studying with the best health and fitness experts in the world, reading books, taking courses, going to seminars, mentorships, and not just health and fitness, other areas like business and leadership and finance and relationships. All the different areas of life. But I wasn't finding what I was looking for. And then one day I came across this challenge to start reading one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. Proverbs has 31 chapters. So on day one of the month, you read Proverbs chapter one. Day two of the month, you read Proverbs chapter two. And then you keep going like that until the end of the month. And then you start back over again. Today is the eighth day of the month. So we're coming from Proverbs chapter eight today. Just reading that chapter this morning. I've been doing this for close to, 10 years now, maybe more than that. Then one day as I got started with this, I was reading Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 13:22 just seemed to jump off the page at me. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we could pass on to future generations? After some time of thinking about it, I came to the conclusion that the most valuable thing we could pass on would be wisdom for how to truly live. So I made a commitment that day. I want to pass on manuals and systems and teaching for all the different areas of life, areas like purpose and health and family and finance. But when I got started, I had no clue what to teach them. So I began to seek after God. I began to press into him, just began to immerse myself in the things of God. My relationship with him just began to grow exponentially. He began to teach me this new way of living where we make him the source of everything, put him right in the center of everything. But it meant I had to unlearn some of my old ways, to let go of some things, to break free of some old patterns. I got put in some impossible looking situations at times, only to see God just continue to show up and just come through over and over again. And I just simply began to document what he was taking me through. And over the course of about 10 years now, it's turned into this whole program we have called the Abundant Life Blueprint, with a series of books and courses and partners now. But out of everything we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, I believe the most important thing is daily communion. Daily communion is what I call the number one table turner for all of life. It has the ability to just turn things around, change the trajectory of our lives going forward. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to remember his sacrifice, to remember our covenant with God. It helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep awe and honor and reverence for the sacrifice of Jesus. And I believe it's important we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, we remember all that he suffered, all that he went through for us. But on the other side, we remember what his sacrifice means for us. How he connects us back to God, makes us right and holy in his sight. We can have this personal relationship with God. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture. Coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves. Because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine themselves before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I believe it has the power to do the opposite of that in the positive, if we'll take it the right way, to make us healthy and strong and give us long life. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout tips and advice. Because I truly believe physical exercise is meant to teach us how to exercise our faith, how to apply it. So let's get started with our prayer. And then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us so that you could fight for us. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. Send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today, and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. Keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is our time to examine ourselves. Are we making today a masterpiece? And how are we going to do that? We're going to get connected to the master. We're going to see in this verse today, it talks about Jesus was like a master craftsman, a skilled craftsman right at God's side. We're going to get connected to him. We're going to bring our relationship with him down into today. And masters of anything are simply masters of the fundamentals. So we talk about bringing some presence and some energy into these four fundamentals today, being filled with delight. But before we talk about our four fundamentals, let's remember God's got a process. When he took the people from Egypt to the promised land, when he took them to their inheritance, the promises that he had for them, they didn't just go straight there. There was a process that he took them through. They're released out of darkness, and then they got to learn how to walk in this new way of living, where they make God the source, they make God the center of it. And to make it very simple, I just think it takes believing that God's got something better for our life. He's got something bigger and better than we can ever dream or ask or imagine. He just needs us to believe and to trust in him for that. Then we got to learn to put off our old ways. We got to be willing to move forward into something that maybe looks impossible. To put off our old ways and to embrace this new way of living where we rely on, we trust in God, we rest in him, And we allow him to do the work, to him to beautify our lives. So our first fundamental, let's get positioned in the light today. Every day we've got a decision to make. We can be positioned in the light or we can be positioned in darkness. There's no in between. And we're going to start with humility. Humbling ourselves in relationship to God, humbling ourselves in relationship to other people. Jesus says, you want to become great in the kingdom of heaven, you got to humble yourself like this little child. Because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to forgive ourselves in the middle, and we're going to walk in grace and forgiveness with other people. We're going to take our position in love today. To walk in the light is to walk in love. Kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrongs, delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering, because love never fails. And we're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. One of the greatest expressions of faith, and gratitude and praise is so powerful. It's one of the easiest ways to just maintain our positioning all day long, is to stay consistently positioned in gratitude and praise. And being in position is a big deal because it puts us in position to be able to receive all that God has for us. When we take our position in the light, we're stepping into Christ. And God has taken everything that he has and he put it all in him. And we get this amazing opportunity that this day today, we have access to his spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom. He's got health and energy, purpose and grace for today, time and resources and finances. It's all in there available to flow through us. But we have to learn how to get in position to receive it and then get it flowing through us out into the world where we see the fruit or the result of it in our lives. So our first step is to get in position. And then our second step is to magnify the light. To magnify the light is to make it bigger or greater. It's going to turn up the brightness and it's going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. It's also going to get this new covenant rooted and established in our heart. Where we have hearts that understand God's grace, we become more consistent in this. And to magnify the light, think about that example of the two baskets. One basket full of all the issues and problems, one basket full of all the things to praise God for. Which one are we going to focus on? Which one are we going to fill up and put our attention and our focus on today? Which one are we going to meditate on today? To magnify the light, we can magnify God's word, just be thinking about his promises to us, his unfailing love and faithfulness, his mighty works that nothing's impossible with him. We can magnify our righteousness in Christ. We've got peace with God. God is on our side. We can magnify every good thing that he put within us. We've got this treasure in jars of clay. And just stay focused on all the things that are going well. Looking back at all that he's already done, because what he started, he's going to finish. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's simply choosing, in the face of issues and problems, to stay focused on him, to cast those cares onto him, to give those over to him. And we're going to magnify him as bigger than those problems. Because we trust that he can solve them a whole lot better than we can. But he doesn't give us a choice. He gives us free will. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, out of position, insisting on our own way, magnifying the issues and problems more than focusing and praising on God. And that's where we got to learn to recognize the symptoms. Because when we're out of position or magnifying the wrong things, it's going to produce some symptoms in our life. Might be the tendency to retaliate at people or snap at people. We might withhold good things that we know to do. We might avoid people or give them the silent treatment. We might isolate ourselves. One of the biggest symptoms, there's just this heaviness and weight and pressure, like it's all sitting on you. Might have feelings of hopelessness or powerlessness, like you're trapped or you're stuck, and these problems are just weighing you down. And it just drains the energy right out of you. Emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry. We're envisioning all these worst-case scenarios, dreading things in the future. And this becomes a habit. You can get stuck in these vicious cycles. They just seem to keep repeating over and over. But we take our position in the light. There's this rest in our soul. There's this fullness that's in him. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless. That weight just comes off of you. There's this lightness in your spirit. And his peace and joy and love and mind and wisdom, his health and energy, purpose and grace, fellowship with God, fellowship with people, it all just begins to flow through us. And now all of a sudden we've got hope in any and every situation because we've got God with us. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. That if we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to get right back positioned again, right back in the light again. Because every day life's throwing stuff at us to try to get us to focus on the wrong things. How do we get back in position? I think it starts with recognizing it. And then humility. Father, forgive me. I've missed it. I'm off track right now. Forgive me. We receive that forgiveness from him. We forgive ourselves. We walk in forgiveness with other people if we need to. And then we start praising and thanking him for his grace and his goodness. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank you that what you put within me is more than enough to handle whatever's coming my way today in a beautiful, graceful way. Help me to tap into it and see it flowing in my life at a greater level today. You go through that simple process, that weight just lifts off you. You feel the peace and the joy and the love just wash over you on the inside. Then our third fundamental, we've got to stay tuned in today. Every day, God's trying to teach us and train us and navigate us. But we've got to stay tuned into him. My favorite way to do this is with the journal before bed. And lately, we've talked about implementing what we call some filters at the top of the journal. These are just short phrases, maybe a statement, maybe one word, that we keep rewriting every night before bed as a way to reinforce God's standard, his way of doing things into our life. And these filters serve as navigation tools to help us navigate through the day when we have decisions to make or we're faced with things to navigate through. For example, a filter might look like this. God is working continually for my good, and I'm going to do continually good for others. And that short phrase just serves to navigate you throughout the day, keep you focused on him. And then I like to start my journal with gratitude and praise to get in position. And then to magnify what went well today. What are all the ways I saw God showing up today? Because the more we look for them, the more of them we're going to see. And then I like to ask this question, God, what were you trying to show me today? And just get still and listen and whatever comes into my mind. Just begin to write those things down. Then we're going to stay tuned in to him throughout the day. Aware of his presence with us. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection, just take 1 to 2 minutes. Just slow down, take a couple deep breaths. Get aware of his presence with you. Think of it like plugging a phone back in. You're going to get charged up or powered up in him again. And then our fourth fundamental, doing what we know to do today. The final thing I like to do in my journal is to plan out the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Because I learned sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I'm toiling away in my mind, trying to figure things out, trying to force things to happen ahead of schedule. And the grace is not there. On the other side, sometimes I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. And I'm getting behind him. So I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? And that becomes the plan for the day. And then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day, because this is the day that the Lord has made. And we remember this very important principle that the first thing out of our mouth every morning sets the tone for the whole day. And as I began to learn about this, I began to seek God. What's the very best thing for us to say first thing in the morning? I felt like he was taking me back to Genesis chapter 1, the very first words we see God speak. Let there be light. So I've begun to start my days this way, very first thing in the morning, the first words out of my mouth. Let there be light. And it's amazing how just such a simple little thing brings a different energy into the day. And then we start walking out that plan together with God. And it's interesting. We were talking about last night with our partners. There's going to be the temptation to get a little lazy and not do those things that we know to do. Sometimes we'll toil away and trying to figure things out. Sometimes we'll try to procrastinate on those things. But there's grace today to take action and do those things that you know to do. And we start walking out that plan in full confidence in God. He's right there with us every step of the way. And when we get to that place of confident faith, His grace begins to surge through us. He begins to go to work. He begins to beautify our lives. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. So this morning, I'm just reading through Proverbs chapter 8. Today is the eighth day of the month. And Proverbs chapter 8 is one of my favorites. And I almost did this the whole communion today, just on the whole chapter of Proverbs chapter 8. There's so much in there. I would highly recommend, if you haven't read Proverbs chapter 8, just spend some time in there this morning. Spend some time in there today. But this verse really jumped out at me, especially we were talking about the two baskets yesterday, the praise cure. And this gives us this beautiful picture of Jesus here in these verses today. This is talking about Jesus. It says, then I was, some versions say, like a skilled craftsman, like a master architect. I was constantly at his side, at God's side. We see now Jesus is at God's right hand. He's at his side. And I was filled with delight day after day. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. Just this beautiful picture of Jesus right here. And remember something very important right now. This is Jesus, but we are in him. We are constantly at God's side, which means we're supposed to be filled with delight day after day, rejoicing in his presence. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. Rejoicing in his whole world. Look at all the beauty of creation that's around you. Fellowshipping with God, fellowshipping with people, delighting in mankind. So we're going to take communion over this today. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for these scriptures. This beautiful picture of Jesus, and we get this amazing opportunity. We get to be in him, to be at your side constantly, filled with delight, rejoicing in your presence. We're asking for your help today to help us to walk in these promises today, to walk in this in greater and greater levels every day from this point on in our lives. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's just take a moment to remember. God didn't have to send Jesus. He chose the way of love. He could have left us on our own, separated from him forever. But he chose to send his one and only son so that we could be constantly by his side, filled with delight day after day, rejoicing in his presence. Jesus is willing to come and humble himself. Think about who he was. Come and humble himself even unto death on a cross. Not for himself, but for us. He's mocked and ridiculed and betrayed and rejected, spit on, hit, whipped, nailed to a cross. Worst of all, I believe he's separated from God. The cup of God's wrath is poured onto the body of Jesus. God was against him. He became sin for us. His body was destroyed. But then he's raised back to life. He's victorious over death, and that same victorious power that raised him up now lives on the inside of us. He connects us back to God, makes us right and holy and perfect in his sight. We can be constantly at his side, rejoicing in his presence every day, filled with delight. So, Father, we thank you for this bread and all that it represents. And we ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant. in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And it's the forgiveness of sins that releases us from darkness and transfers us into the light. We can have this covenant relationship with God, this blood-sworn oath that He's with us, that He's for us, He'll never leave us or forsake us. He's working for our good. We can be at His side, rejoicing in His presence day after day, filled with delight. We can know Him. So, Father, we thank You for this cup. And I just ask You to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. Let's talk about how to apply this today. Let's use our workout time as a reminder of this. Make your exercise a delight. The world has taught us that exercise is supposed to be this miserable process. But exercising our faith is supposed to be this time where we connect with God. We find that delight, the joy in movement. It feels great to move. Connect with Him. Take a humble approach. Take a gentle approach to your exercise. Connect with God. Use it as an opportunity to get aware of His presence, to practice experiencing Him doing the work. Like a skilled architect, like a master builder, a skilled craftsman, you're going to build this body that God gave you. And you're going to do it together with Him, filled with delight. That's what exercise is supposed to be, I believe. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.